This is Twit.
Everybody I talked to, right, earlier this week, made the rounds, as it were. And there was some conjecture about the performance of the GTX 2080, or as I like to call it, the RTX 2080. Let's talk about the new GPUs from NVIDIA, right? Because that's kind of the big thing this week, by far. Yep. The 2080 shipping. The 2080 Ti is delayed at least a week. The 2070, we have no idea when it will ship. There are no RTX games. The update to the Tomb Raider game is going to be the first ray tracing, like live RTX ray tracing enabled game. We're waiting for the patch on that. The first like new game, Battlefield 5, is going to ship in November. It kind of slipped in November, but should be available in November. So RTX games are starting, or we are hoping they will be trickling out. Card availability is not awful. MSRP, they're actually all really within about $50 of MSRP, the third-party cards that are still available. I was laughing on Tuesday because as we shot Tech Thing, all of the sales pages on NVIDIA's website disappeared, and which I thought was really amusing. Like all of a sudden, you couldn't even try to order a 2080. But let's talk about RTX 2080, RTX 2080 Ti. I feel like I'm gonna guess here. If you are a 4K gamer and if you have a 4K monitor and you want all the pixels, the 2080 Ti is attractive. The 2080, I believe you said, was on parity with a 1080 Ti when we were talking in pre-show, like 30% above a 1080. Okay. How are you feeling about these cards right now? Because in one sense, on today's games, you're getting a healthy bump in exchange for a healthy increase in cost.
The performance of the cards is good, but I think not the revolutionary thing that a lot of people were expecting. If you remember back to the launch stream when the CEO Jensen was on stage talking about the products, they didn't really talk about anything except ray tracing performance. They didn't really dive into anything about the games that you can play today and what that performance level would look like. Then a couple days later, they let the media put out like one slide that showed performance, but it was a little bit not misconstrued. It was a little bit kind of calculated of a move because they included a lot of HDR performance in that. And the HDR performance on the 10 series has a little bit of a performance hit, whereas on the 20 series it doesn't. So it kind of expands that gap quite a bit. And, they were obviously picking the games that looked the best for them. They also, NVIDIA, that document right there. NVIDIA likes to compare the GTX 1080 to the RTX 2080, again, which that graphic right there is doing. And that makes sense from a naming scheme and kind of from a GPU, like a relative GPU die configuration standpoint. In other words, like this is GT104 and that's, we're comparing it to GP104. But from the community standpoint, from gamers and reviewers and enthusiasts, what we have been used to doing over the last couple of generational leaps is comparing, the 80 versus the previous Ti, right? So if you go back to when the 980 Ti came out and it replaced the GTX 780, or it supplanted the GTX 780. And then when the GTX 1080 came out, it was, quite a bit faster while also being quite a bit more efficient than the GTX 980. And in this case, if you make that same comparison, if you go with the RTX 2080 and compare it to the GTX 1080 Ti, you don't really get you don't get that same difference. The efficiency, the power consumption is pretty close. The RTX 2080 is a little bit more power efficient, but not a whole lot. Maybe 10 watts less power draw in our testing. And then from a performance standpoint, it's pretty much a dead even race between the RTX 2080 and the GTX 1080 Ti. And I would say it leans in favor of the RTX 2080 by a handful of percent, 5 or less. And there are a couple of cases where the 1080 Ti is actually faster. So it's a mixed bag in terms of that performance comparison. And then when you bring in the pricing into it, that's when things get pretty messy, because the RTX 2080, the Founders Edition, the one that, you know, NVIDIA sent out for review, is $799, I believe, right?
Right.
Which means that if you compare that to the launch price of the GTX 1080 Ti, it was $699, right? So for $100 right. more, Founders Edition versus Founders Edition, you are getting a almost equivalent performance, maybe a little bit better, maybe a little bit more efficiency. So you're paying more for that. Technologically speaking, you're getting a lot more out of the RTX card. You're getting GDDR6 memory. It's running at, you know, 1400 gigabits per second or 14,000 gigabits per second instead of 11,000. You get your memory bandwidth goes from 484 gigabytes per second to 616 gigabytes per second. Your peak theoretical compute goes from 10.6 to 13.4, 12 to 18 billion transistors. There's a lot more technology going on in the RTX 2080 than in the GTX 1080 Ti. Mm-hmm. But most of that appears to be tied up in the ray tracing capability and the AI capability of the Turing GPU, which, as you brought up at the beginning of the discussion, is not accessible in any actual games you can play today. And that's kind of problematic.
So we're looking at these cards. We're looking at a premium price, in part because it's the Founders Edition, and NVIDIA's gotten into the habit of extracting kind of a payday. I don't know, maybe that's not the nicest way of saying it, but you know, they kind of release the first round of these cards. They're overclocked. They're more expensive, you know, by a fairly large, you know, percentage of value. I think it's, you know, they're turning a big ship. You know, they're kind of moving us from where we've been in the last several years to real-time ray tracing. They've made some it's amazing to realize how complicated these cards are and how sophisticated the technology yep. is. I just wish there was more RTX content available or RTX ready content available at chip, because none of these are bad cards in terms of existing gaming performance. And certainly if you're moving a metric ton of pixels on a 4K monitor, you know, you'll probably be staring at that 2080 Ti going like, I'm good. Come on. I got it. Cut me the check. Or I'll cut you a check. Just because it's a pretty healthy bump, but you know, we were talking last week, you don't feel, because one of the pundits was claiming that, you know, early 2019 we were going to be seeing a massive process drop and a massive decrease in power consumption and increase in performance, probably a reduction in price. Does that sound like somebody writing a title to get traffic, or does that sound like something that might actually happen next year? I mean, obviously, most people should wait until after the Founders Edition and get the regular edition of the card. Do we even have an idea when that's going to show up?
So it depends on what you mean by regular. In terms of just like third party AIC cards, add-in card vendors, you know, custom coolers, all that, those are available already, right? You'll see them for sale in Newegg and Amazon. We have a handful here. If you're talking about normal being the price lower models, you know,
yes,
remember that one. This is interesting in that the Founders Edition this time is more expensive than the base, which it was before, but it's also overclocked out of the box as opposed to running at kind of quote unquote the reference speeds, which creates a different dynamic, right? Because before, the Founders Editions were base clocks, but more expensive. And we kind of looked at it as, okay, NVIDIA wanted to create cards, they wanted to build their own for people that just want the one directly from NVIDIA, but they didn't want to step on their partner's feet by competing at the same performance level, even though we all know they're all overclockable and whatever. So this time they said, look, we're going to charge more for them. We need to be in the same performance kind of segment as our partner cards that are overclocked out of the box. So they did it that time. And if you remember with the 10 series, it was pretty rare to find a card that was that quote unquote base MSRP price. And I feel like we're going to see the same thing here. As far as I know, we haven't seen any out today. This is, again, day one, so not uncommon for that to be the case. But in my mind, there's not really, unless these don't sell well, there's not a lot of reason for card partners to want to stretch down the stack, right? If NVIDIA has kind of set the bar at $799 for the 2080 and $1199 for the 2080 Ti, you know, even if you've got your base model, if they're hard to find and they're going to sell through, why would you sell it for less? Now, we don't have the complication of the cryptocurrency mining fiasco going on at this point, which is something that haunted both the 10 series products and, you know, the Radeon Vega products as well. So it's kind of a different thing. I worry that we won't see $699 versions of 2080 for the foreseeable future, or what is it supposed to be, $999 for the 2080 Ti reference. But you know, if these aren't selling out in a month, then I think you maybe will see some of that. So in terms of should you wait, I think you should wait. It always makes sense not to buy day one. But day 30 and then day 60 is when you start to go, okay, how much are things going to change from the status of that day? And we'll have to see where we're at. But I get the impression that these are going to sell fine. NVIDIA is going to do well. They don't have a lot of competition to push back on them. But we got to keep checking on availability, I guess, from that mindset.
I'm also curious. I mean, looking, you know, for anybody who's been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting to buy a GPU and then waited long enough that they knew this next generation of RTX cards would be coming, so they waited for the announcement. The existing, you know, 1060, 1070, 1080, 1080 Ti boards, 1070 Ti boards, all holding their value, all around like $50 above MSRP. I feel like those prices are pretty much going to stay there until the supply is exhausted, or all of a sudden there is a massive amount of, one of the rumors I heard was that there's a ton of inventory that people are kind of sitting on because a lot of people haven't realized that GPU prices are back down, maybe not to their lowest, but back close to MSRP. So they're at least affordable without taking out a second mortgage. But I also think that, you know, they're going to keep the price on these cards at MSRP and above for as long as they can until the supply of 20 series cards starts to flood the market. Does that sound about right? I just don't see those prices on, like, you know, because I've been waiting to buy a 1070 or a 1070 Ti in like a sub 250 millimeter form factor. And I'm like, I don't think the price is going to come down anymore.
I would agree with that because the prices of the 20 series are higher. There's no reason for the 10 series to come down. If the 20 series were more aggressive on price, you might see that. So, you know, I think last night on our podcast, my pick of the week was a GTX 1080 Ti overclocked, you know, Zotac Amp Edition for $679, which is, you know, $20 below MSRP for that card, for like the reference version of that card when it launched. So, you know, if you look at it and say, well, that's a year and a half old car, that's not that great. But if you look at it in comparison to everything else, it's better, right? If you consider it was $120 less than the Founders Edition of the RTX 2080. Now, my understanding is that the production of the GTX 10 series cards halted quite a while ago, and that the stock that exists in the GTX 10 series is not going to like last through the end of the holiday season type of thing. Not something that's going to roll into 2019 very well. The only other thing from a 10 series standpoint to think about is as the mining craze dies off more and more, you're going to find more people. If you're willing to buy a GPU that was used, that was probably mined, right? So hit very hard. So you are going to take an impact there on potential DOA. But and all indications are it's not going to be that huge of a deal. You can find 1080 Ti's on eBay for like $500. Right. So it is. Now you're looking at a $500 for a used product versus $800 for a new product that is equivalent in performance today. It's a matter of, are you the type of person that's like, okay, I can spend $500 today. I can get the one of the peak levels of performance that exists in PC gaming. And you know what? If that only lasts me a year or say in 18 months, the ray tracing and the AI, the DLSS capability actually turns out to be really cool and the games that use it are awesome, then you might have to sell that off for a couple of $100 and suck it up and buy that RTX card or whatever. So it's just a matter of how much stock you want to put in the RTX, the ray tracing, and the DLSS capabilities that NVIDIA is really pushing with this product. It's also worth noting, I don't think we've really talked about it yet, but the 2080 Ti is $1,200, very expensive, the same as the Titan XP when it launched. But the 2080 Ti at least has the advantage of it's 30 to 40% faster than the 2080 and the 1080 Ti. So it is the new fastest GeForce card that you can get. It's just, you know, like the Titan XP was the fastest, but it kind of, you know, people kind of ignored it a little bit because it wasn't a GTX 1080 Ti product. You can kind of go, that's the stretch. That's for people who want that last, you know, 5, 10% or 15%. The prices have gone up. The barrier to entry has gone up. And that's kind of what we're left with is that. But it is at least the fastest that we've tested so far. So in terms of wow factor, that definitely gets it. The 2080 is a tougher discussion, right? Even pricing off to the side.
I think it gets easier. If in a year, if we turn around and RTX patches are all over the place, there's a ton of RTX real-time ray tracing games, I think then it becomes I get a 2080. But right now, it's not an inexpensive piece of hardware.